Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. It's been almost 4 months since Governor Hogan declared that the epidemic of opioid deaths in Maryland is an emergency. He announced $50 million in new funding over the next 5 years to support prevention, recovery, and enforcement efforts. This month, we've seen statistical confirmation of the toll of this emergency. News that nearly 2,000 Marylanders died of drug overdoses last year, up by two-thirds from 2015. Later, we'll speak with Clay Stamp, who heads the governor's Opioid Operational Command Center, about what the state emergency declaration means for the fight against overdoses. First, we'll pose that question to Baltimore City's Health Commissioner, Dr. Lena Wen. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Thanks for coming. So, about a third of those drug overdoses were in the city. Has the declaration of emergency made a difference in your fight against opioid overdose deaths in the city?
So I'm glad that Governor Hogan has joined public health officials across the state to call for an emergency around this this urgent issue. We in Baltimore City have been hit hard by the opioid epidemic. Last year in our city, nearly two people a day died from overdose, more than the number of people who died from homicide. And it's made even more tragic because we know what works. We know that we have to get naloxone or Narcan, the opioid antidote, into everyone's hands to save lives. We know that we have to increase access to treatment at the time that people need instead of having them wait weeks or months to get treatment. We have the science to show what works. We just have to have the funding to get there. And currently, we are nowhere near the funding that we need in Baltimore City in order to combat this epidemic.
In particular, I've heard this week that you are short of supplies of naloxone, which is the drug that can reverse immediately on the spot an overdose. Short in what way?
I want to clarify that there's no shortage of the drug. What we're short on is the financial resources to purchase naloxone. So naloxone is a complete antidote. I've given naloxone in the ER hundreds of times, and someone who is overdosing and about to die, if I give them a nasal spray or an injection similar to an EpiPen, their life will be saved, and they'll be walking and talking again within seconds to minutes. So this is something that we've been training everyone in our city on how to administer. Police officers carry it and save lives. Everyday residents have saved over 950 lives right here in Baltimore City in just the last 2 years alone. But we have outreach workers, community leaders, faith leaders calling the health department every day asking us for Narcan because they know of people who are overdosing on their properties and they want to save lives too. And we just simply don't have enough Narcan to give everyone who needs it and wants it to be able to save a life.
Does it follow from that that there will be overdoses not reversed because the city has not been able to afford enough naloxone?
Yes.
Is that already happening?
I hate to say it because I hate to use this word, but rationing is what is happening here. When we have a limited supply and a huge demand, we have to ration based on the likelihood of overdose. So we are supplying Narcan to those who have the highest likelihood of overdosing or knowing someone who will overdose. But if we had 10,000 more units today, I can give them out within a week to 2 weeks. And we could save hundreds more lives in our city if everyone just carried this medication with them. Now, I recognize that Narcan or naloxone itself is not the answer, that we also have to be improving access to treatment because addiction is a chronic brain disease. And we also have to have long-term treatment, including with medication-assisted treatment like methadone and buprenorphine and counseling and other services. But we have to have the ability to save a life today. We cannot be priced out of the ability to afford this life-saving medication today.
Part of the overdose epidemic in Baltimore City is from fentanyl, which is more powerful than most opioids. Is naloxone effective against fentanyl overdoses?
Fentanyl is a type of opioid. It's an extremely strong synthetic opioid that's many times stronger than heroin, but it's still an opioid. And so naloxone is effective against fentanyl. But it requires often a higher dose of naloxone or multiple doses in order to be effective. That's one of the reasons why we are running short of supply, because we need to have a larger supply of naloxone now that the number of people dying from fentanyl overdose in our city has increased by over 30 times in the last 3 years.
One of the steps which the State Department of Health and Mental Hygiene announced at the same time it announced these stunning 2016 death tolls that I mentioned was that, quote, Maryland has expanded access to naloxone. They pointed out that Dr. Howard Taft, the Department of Health and Mental Hygiene's public health deputy secretary, as of June 1st, had issued a standing order that allows pharmacies to dispense naloxone to individuals who may be at risk of an overdose, something which I think you had already done in the city.
Yes.
Is now statewide. But is it realistic that that will make a difference if naloxone is too expensive for localities to buy?
Our standing order means that anyone can walk into any of our pharmacies in Baltimore City and get naloxone without having a prescription from their own doctor. Patients who are on Medicaid can get naloxone for a dollar. Individuals who do not have Medicaid and have private insurance have a small copay, somewhere between $10 and $40. So I encourage everyone who can afford it to go to the pharmacy today and pick up Narcan. The problem is that I've got 1,000 people working at the health department. They shouldn't all have to purchase their own Narcan to save someone else's life. We don't make paramedics buy their own fire hose and other equipment. In the same way, we should not make our outreach workers pay this out of their own insurance. And that is what the city really should be able to afford. And we look to our partnership with the state to help to secure these funds at a time of a state of emergency.
You mentioned the longer-term steps that you feel are called for, including treatment. I have the impression that that is what the federal law that President Obama signed in his last month in office, the 21st Century Cures Act, was aimed at, specifically in terms of heading off opioid overdose deaths, and that Maryland has been appropriated $10 million through that act. Has that gone into work yet? Is that money working in Maryland?
So Maryland has over $10 million a year for 2 years, so over $20 million total from the federal government in order to fight the opioid epidemic. Some of it could be used for Narcan. A lot of it should be and can be used for treatment. There is other amounts that are allocated for prevention, public education campaign, connecting people into treatment, and so forth. I have written multiple letters and have been in multiple conversations with our state health officials, our partners in this process, about the allocation and the timing. Timing is important because the monies have already been allocated to our state, and we in the city need the money desperately. We also know exactly how we would spend it. We're on the front lines. We know what works. So we've submitted a letter, actually multiple letters, explaining what we would use those funds for and how urgent it is. And the distribution is also important to us, too. If Baltimore City Council constitutes over a third of all the overdose deaths in the state of Maryland, then we should also receive at least a third of the resources as allocated from the federal government to the state. Distribution should be to areas of greatest need. This is a core public health principle, and that is what we need to see happen with these federal funds as well as with the state funds that are being allocated by Governor Hogan through the state of emergency.
I gather from the verb tenses you're using that the money is not flowing yet.
We have not yet been given a timeline from the state as to when or if we'll receive the funds and how much of the funds will be allocated. It's been communicated to me that there will likely be a competitive bid process, but I don't yet know as to what that process is.
It hasn't started.
I don't believe so, no.
Dr. Lena Wen, Health Commissioner of Baltimore City, I really appreciate you taking time to talk to us.
Thank you for inviting me.
Joining us in studio now is Clay Stamp, who heads the Governor's Opioid Operational Command Center, OOCC. Welcome back to On the Record.
Hi, Sheila. Thank you.
So Baltimore's Health Commissioner, Dr. Lena Wen, has been speaking publicly about not having enough funds to keep first responders supplied with naloxone, the anti-overdose drug. Wen, she says Maryland has money from the federal government that could be used for that purpose. How do you respond to that?
Well, so what I would like to say first is that, as I spoke with you before, we are dealing with a crisis situation that's evolving, and we're evolving with that situation. So we understand the importance of naloxone. Naloxone is certainly the CPR for overdose victims. It's a life-saving drug, and we hear the call for the need. We do have funds that are becoming available, both the funds that the governor has put aside, $10 million a year for 5 years, $50 million, to address the crisis, as well as the Cures Grant. And those monies will be available to purchase naloxone. Subsequently, each of the jurisdictions in Maryland have access to substance use funds. They're actually substance use disorder funds. And there's millions of dollars that is distributed to jurisdictions, and there's a great deal of flexibility in the use of those funds. So as evidenced last week, Baltimore asked to spend $150,000 for an emergency purchase on naloxone, and they were able to do that. So we're being flexible. The monies that are coming out clearly are going to be there for naloxone. It's a life-saving drug. We recognize the efficacy of the drug. We recognize it's saving lives, and we're going to support our jurisdictions in their requests.
Okay, I appreciate you're not getting too lost in the weeds, but Dr. Wen told me that there is routinely, near the end of the fiscal year, and Maryland's fiscal year ends next week, that there is extra money distributed from the Behavioral Health Administration, the state's agency, and that that's been true for several years, and that that's part of what Dr. Wen's agency counts on in figuring out its supplies. So if that's the money you say is being distributed last week, my impression from Dr. Wen is that was already sort of baked in the cake in their planning. She's saying, we need more.
Right. So I guess to sum up a response to you is the message is heard, not only from Baltimore City, but for other jurisdictions, that Narcan is a life-saving drug and we need it. The funding is in place to provide that, and we're moving forward to grant requests.
What about the $10 million that the U.S. government has earmarked for Maryland from the 21st Century Cures Act?
So we're working with the governor's office, and we're actually the Opioid Operational Command Center, which is a collaborative, working with all of our local jurisdictions, have identified needs in the local jurisdictions. And we've put together goals and objectives that we're trying to achieve in the areas of prevention, enforcement, and access to treatment, and with a strong focus on prevention through education and access to treatment on request. It's clear that, you know, Narcan saves lives, and what you have when you save a life is you have an opportunity to get somebody in treatment. So Narcan, without a model that provides treatment upon request, a system that can be 24/7 and has the capacity to provide that treatment, is a missed opportunity. So the funds are also being directed toward building out the access to treatment for people that have the disease of addiction. So whether it's a Cures Grant money or whether it's the $10 million addressing the HOPE Act issues that the legislature put in place, we're making sure we address those key objectives that are going to allow us to eventually try to reduce the number of fatalities and overdoses.
As you mentioned, we spoke about 6 weeks ago. At that time, you told us that the OOCC was, quote, putting together a spending proposal for the governor to consider, close quote.
Right.
Where does that stand?
So that's in its final stages. The monies are available July 1. And of course, after the July 1st, the process to distribute those funds will be engaged. And that secures grant funding as well as the $10 million that we're talking about. And that
the $10 million from the federal 21st Century Cures Act. So this is the $10 million, $10 million that you're saying Governor Hogan promised to spend on the opioid emergency.
Right. And so we're looking at both the Cures grant funding, which is $10 million for 2 years, and the monies that the governor put in for $10 million a year for the next 5 years. With the two funds, we're looking at accomplishing the tasks that were set forth for us by the legislature in the HOPE Act.
Tell me a bit about the HOPE Act.
The HOPE Act was a piece of legislation that was passed this past session that's going to address the the improvement of the statewide hotline, the 24/7 access to a crisis center, amongst a number of other requirements. Hospital emergency departments coming up with a standardized discharge protocol, because last year we had 23,000 visits to ERs for non-fatal overdoses, and understanding those people have a higher propensity to re-overdose. We need to make sure that they're being discharged from hospitals with Narcan, potentially with peer counsel support, and even potentially with a warm or hot handoff to access to treatment. The HOPE Act lays out a pathway to do that. So both of those funds will be used to accomplish those issues, as well as a number of other issues that have been derived in our communications with local jurisdictions, where we've asked them where their gaps are in the areas of prevention, enforcement, and then access and expansion of treatment capacity.
I mentioned at the beginning of this show the new statistics that came out from the State Department of Health and Mental Hygiene this month. 2,089 overdose deaths in Maryland last year, up by two-thirds from 2015. 9 out of 10 of those deaths from opioid overdoses. I know the deaths reflected in those statistics occurred before Governor Hogan declared the emergency, but they do raise a sense of urgency. And I have the impression you're saying that in just a few weeks, we're going to actually see implementation action stemming from the governor's emergency declaration?
Well, we're seeing it now. We're seeing it now.
In what way? I mean, I hear the Baltimore Health Commissioner saying she feels stymied.
So you talk to the emergency manager and health officer in Washington County, for example, and they'll tell you that we are engaging people we've never engaged before. We're learning about best practices in Salisbury, Maryland, about how they're using a COAT program to link peer counselors with people that are found to overdose. So we're learning from Anne Arundel County's Safe Fire Station, and those things are spreading. Those projects or promising practices are already spreading around Maryland. We were saving lives with Narcan. You know, last year we had close to 23,000, again, people with non-fatal overdoses. Almost 900 of those were saved with Narcan. So we are making
Narcan
a difference.
Narcan is the same as naloxone.
Yes. So we are making a difference. The state of emergency is about mobilizing everybody to begin talking and sharing best practices and then spreading them across Maryland. When I spoke to you last time, I was talking to you about some of the best practices we're seeing out of Baltimore City that other jurisdictions are learning from the LEAD program, police diversion, making sure people with the disease of addiction are getting into treatment rather than getting into jail. So there are things happening. The state of emergency is pulling people together, and there are people talking that weren't talking before. There's no doubt that the numbers are getting worse, and we are doing everything possible to rally the people of Maryland around this crisis. And we're going to continue to work this situation hard and try to make a difference.
I appreciate you taking time to talk to us. Thank you.
Thank you, Sheila.
Clay Stamp heads the Governor's Opioid Operational Command Center, OOCC. Earlier, we spoke with Baltimore City Health Commissioner Dr. Lena Wen. At the On the Record page at WYPR.org, we have a link to the state's opioid awareness web portal before it's too late. Also there, the state's 24-hour crisis hotline number, 1-800-422-0009. Again, 1-800-422-0009. I'm Sheila Cass, quick break, and then a Stoop story about camping, shark teeth, and marriage.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.